This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And when it's time to book your vacation, then it's time to look up the vacation planners at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. They'll do the best job that anybody could possibly do, and they'll get the most out of your vacation dollar for you. So visit them at meitravel.com and mousefantravel.com, or you could click on their banner at the MickeyMilesPodcast.com webpage.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 98 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing well. So when this show is on, we will be back from Disneyland?
Yes.
I had a great time, did you?
Wow. I hope I had a great time. We're recording on a day that I struggled to get 13 miles in today after doing a 10K yesterday, and I hope that I can report that I had a good time in California.
Yeah, you rocked that race, Scopa. Yeah, you rocked that race.
So, it's too bad Haunted Mansion was closed. But,
oh my gosh, I can't believe that. So I have a shout-out today and a quick story to tell you. The shout-out is to a listener whose name is Phil Cordero, and he got his workout this week by walking around Disneyland. And I thought that was very appropriate. And so the story I have is about two of our runner friends, Michael Miller and Brad Garfinkel. And Michael went to Disney World to surprise his family. And he and his son had been taking scuba diving lessons, and they signed up for the scuba dive in the Living Seas. Unbeknownst to them, Brad Garfinkel also planned a weekend trip, I think, with his daughter. While Michael Miller and his son were scuba diving, he looked out into the people tank and saw Brad there. So I thought that was really, really cool. So they have pictures of each other on the tank, and neither one of them knew that the other person was going to be there. So it's kind of a story about running friends in Disney World. I just thought it was neat. Don't you think so?
I want to know who plays Brad in the movie.
Okay.
So that's our shout-out?
That's our shout-out in our little okay. story. I just thought that was so cool. I guess I'm the only one.
Okay, let me
Maybe our two guests think it's cool, too. I don't know.
And moving along, it's time to introduce our guests. We have one gentleman who has been with us before, and there's one gentleman who has not been with us before. So I will first introduce our new guest. And he comes from, he says, just south of Atlanta. Go Braves. And his name is Chris Trawick. Chris, welcome to the show.
Mike, Michelle, how are you doing? Great to be on. Really excited to talk to you guys.
We're so happy to have you.
Chris is a huge supporter of the podcast, and he's actually blogged for the Mickey Miles website too. And we're excited that you're here, Chris.
Me too.
And also joining us is for a return engagement is Dr. Dominic Abram from Roseville, Minnesota, where I understand it's about 400 degrees today. Dom, huh?
Close. It's 96. We're experiencing a late summer heat wave before we get all the kids back in school.
Wow. Wow. Well, we brought these two gentlemen on to help us in a roundtable discussion on a subject matter that is just below the surface, and it involves training. It involves running. We often hear people saying, well, I'm training for this, I'm training for that, or I'm going out to run. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out exactly what the difference is between running and training. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And Michelle, why don't you come up with the first question to get us off and running?
Well, before we do that, Mike, I wanted to know why you thought this was an interesting topic, because you're the one who brought this to the forefront and thought about this.
Well, I'm glad you asked that. I don't know. I think that over the years, I've seen people use the term training in many ways. And I just have this thorn in my side that says, well, wait a minute, you know, this to me, when I think of training, I think of something completely different than running. And I just wanted to sort of ask and reach out to others and see if they feel the same way. And I think that it's important to make a distinction between those two terms. So I just wanted to throw that out on the table and see if we could get some really, really concrete discussions going on this.
Okay. So I'll jump in and ask Chris. Chris, do you see a difference between running and training? And what do you think the difference is, if so?
I definitely do. I'm a firm believer that training, based upon the personality of the runner, a lot of people are able to go out and run every day or run every other day and have no training goal in mind or no race on the calendar, and they're okay with that. Personally, I have to have a race on the calendar. I've got to have something scheduled, a goal that my training is geared toward. So yeah, I think I'd put on the Facebook wall that to me, the difference between running and training is that running has no end goal in the planning of it. Training has a target, so you have specified workouts, you're trying to hit your splits, your mileage per week, and the like. So to me, there's definitely a big difference between the two.
So running is more for just plain leisure and enjoyment, where training is working towards a goal where you're improving or trying to have a certain time.
Right. And, you know, if you do it correctly, I think they both should be about the same thing, because, you know, I know in one of the previous episodes of the show, you talked about overtraining. And when it becomes the point where even a race has you less than excited about getting out there and putting in a workout, then you really have to reevaluate whether your goals are in line with what your best interest is in terms of running. And it's a fine line to walk, and I think we all sometimes struggle with that.
I think that's a great point. Dom, do you see any difference between training and running?
Yeah, I do. When I first started running about 10 years ago, I ran maybe one or two races a year at most, and so a lot of the running I was doing was just running, getting out so that I got out, got used to being out on the road, whatever the case might be. And then I would start training based on whatever version of training I was following at that time. And then I'd get the race done. And then for several years, I wouldn't do much more than maybe go out on an occasional run, but I wasn't training. And then when I got kind of serious about running a few years ago, I would say that I'm a person in a similar situation with a lot of people I know, that I'm actually always training for a race, because I'm always doing a race at some point in time in the year. And so I've gotten away from just running, just going out to run without worrying about the watch, without worrying about the route or anything like that. And it changes your mindset on how you feel about running, how you feel about what you're getting out of it. And it's something that you have to be aware of, that if you feel that you're training all the time for races, and you're okay with that mentally, and you know your body is holding on, and you're not getting yourself injured, then I think you're a person that is going out for training runs all the time. But if you decide that, hey, I don't know if I want to be doing this all the time, and like, since I live in Minnesota, when I'm training for Disney, a lot of the long runs are in the winter, and so it's not easy. You look at it and wonder why exactly you're doing it. And I've actually thought recently, based on some of the things we've heard in the last few episodes of the podcast, what is it like to just go out and run? I don't remember what it's like to go out and just run. I always have to be going a certain distance, a certain route for a certain time. And it really has made me pause and think based on where I'm at in my life with what I want to do with my races. So I think there's a big difference. And as you mature as a runner, and as you get used to, you know, what you want to get out of running, you really do need to decide, are you always training, or are you going to get some runs in just to run? So that's, I'm struggling with that right now myself, frankly.
So Dom, it sounds like you think that if people focus on training too much, that they may run the risk of not liking to run anymore.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely believe that. Yesterday I did 16 miles and it was fine. I mean, training wise, going back to the difference, training wise, it was fine. But as just kind of a run, I wanted to get done. I just wanted to be done with it. Now, that actually made the training part of it good because I maintained the pace I was looking for. But when I got done, I was like, great, now that's done. And then I thought, I shouldn't be thinking that because I'm training to do something that's leading up to what will be a Disney race. But I mean, I thought this was supposed to be fun. Now, maybe the weather was a little bit of an impact. I don't know. But yeah, there's a definite fear on my part that myself and maybe other people can burn out. And then what is the mindset it takes to be able to take that mental break to just run for a bit, rediscover the joy of running, and then you'll get back into the training aspects of it as you move on with your running career.
So Don, I'd like to stick with you on this next question. Have you addressed this first? So after hearing you talk about that, could you give a brief rundown of the components that make up a training program for you?
Yeah, sure. It's fairly standardized for the last several years in that I follow kind of the format of Hal Higdon intermediate training for, it doesn't really matter what the race is. I do the marathon training. So I'm running 4 to 5 days a week. The training I do, I don't mix in as much of like specific interval, speed work, hill work in as really I should, or as other people do, just because the routes I take kind of lend themselves to a lot of hill work naturally. And the speed work comes and goes as I'm working on pace. So I'm looking at 4 or 5 days a week. I'm out at least an hour on those days. I haven't gone on what I would call a training run of less than 6 miles unless there was a deliberate reason I had to be done early in probably 3 years. So the training is that kind of set mileage with a long run included in that mileage, usually on the weekend. It's kind of a combination of hill work, speed work, and interval work sort of mixed in, but not a set defined version of it like other people I know do. And then I also, again, being in Minnesota, sometimes you can't get outside. We have an elliptical at home that I use, and I treat that as a run, not as cross training, although technically I guess it could be considered cross training. But if I'm on the elliptical, to me, that counts as a run because I'm working just as hard as if I'm out on the road. So it's a set number of days and a mileage range that is, not as much at the beginning of a training cycle for me as near the end. And then, of course, there's a couple weeks of taper before a race itself.
Wow. I'd like to ask you, could you give a rundown of what you feel are the components for your training program? And also, besides that, could you address if your training program alters depending upon what your objectives are? For instance, if you're heading towards like a 10K versus a half or a full marathon.
Right. Yeah, very similar to what Dom's, what he had indicated as well. You know, I'm approaching, I guess, about my 10th year of running consistently from the perspective of, racing. So the things, I guess, that I've learned over those years have definitely changed the way I train, in that one of the big things that a lot of the listeners will notice reading about in a lot of the running magazines and the books perhaps that you read on training plans is called the concept of specificity. And what that basically refers to is train according to what you're going to race on. If you're going to race on a flat course, then train on a flat course. If you're going to race on an overly hilly course, then be sure that your training builds the weaknesses that you have inherently so that on race day you're better able to address it. So the only thing I'll add to what Dom had said is I've learned to try to do that and really see how important that is for me. Early on in my running career, I would, reach a race that, it's the same distance. If you're running a half, it's 13.1. If you're running a full, it's 26.2. But that terrain, the profile of the course can be so different. It really will bring out over the course of that race how well your training prepared you for it. I think we probably all have realized in the middle of a course somewhere along in our running career that, wow, I should have done a little more speed work, or I should have done more hill work because I'm paying the price for it now. And that's probably the most important thing that I've learned that I try to tell people, is to train according to what your weaknesses are and what the course is going to give you on race day. Because running flat courses and training isn't going to prepare you for a hilly course on race day. And I don't think we give that enough thought in our training sometimes. I know I didn't for the first several years.
So, Chris, it sounds like you train for different terrains, but also you train differently for different distance races too. But where Dom, it sounds like you pretty much keep up the same training regime. It sounds like you have a marathon training regime. Is that right?
Yeah, that I look at most of the races I do are either halves or fulls. So if I do a 10K, that just, to me, that race actually, I don't train for that race. That's just a part of the training for whatever the longer race is down the line. But it sounds like Chris is actually, and correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like, Chris, what you're doing is working the training based on the distance that you're going to do and even the type of terrain, if you know that ahead of time.
A lot of times that's right. I mean, most of my training weeks, I don't per se go out and train for a 5K or a 10K unless I'm really wanting to improve a time. And I am definitely a type A personality where if I'm going to toe the line on a race, I am absolutely going to try to PR that race no matter what, regardless. So I will put some specific training in for that race. But I've gotten burned so many times by just going out and it really goes back to Mike's question, just going out and putting miles in, just for the sake of getting a specific number per day. Okay, that workout's done, that run is complete. And if it doesn't address one of my weaknesses, if it doesn't provide me with the ability to handle that race course on race day better, then you can argue whether that run is even worth completing.
I have a question for both of you. I'm going to start. Chris is going to get the advantage here because I'm going to ask Dom first. Dom, I don't remember if you have or are intending on participating in the Twilight Zone Tara Tara 10-miler or the Wine and Dine half marathon. I don't remember if you were there last year or the year before. But I wanted to ask, if you were to enter those races, would you train differently, or would you just keep going the way you would normally train?
That's actually a very interesting question. I haven't done, and I'm not doing this year, either of those races. Maybe next year, one or the other. And I have thought about what I would do. I think the one thing I would change in my training, it wouldn't necessarily be distances or kind of that amalgamation of speed hill interval work that goes in with the routes that I run around Roseville here. But I would actually probably try to run at night, and I don't. I'm a morning runner. I get up in the morning early, not quite as early as you, Mike, but I get up early to get my run in before I get to work. So I would actually probably switch the training to get used to running at night, to get used to the different atmosphere that's in the air, because it is a different feel. Just getting used to being running after a full day of work. In the past, I have done some training runs after work, and they went fine, but I didn't like it as much as the morning. So I would have to adjust not only my training schedule, but I'd have to mentally adapt to what that meant. And so, that's probably one reason why I didn't sign up this year. Plus, I don't think I checked it over with my wife, because she would want to run too, and we just hadn't planned that far ahead. But I would definitely have a bit, there would be some changes in how I would approach the training for those two races, or any night race, actually.
How about you, Chris?
Absolutely. You know, I'm definitely probably in the minority in that I do all of my, the vast majority of my runs are in the, believe it or not, after midnight hour. But that's a great example of, if if it's a specific type of event that such as Twilight Zone or Wine and Dine, in which most people aren't accustomed to running at night, or especially in the Twilight race where, you know, you've got that off trail section and a lot of people are not very comfortable with that. I think that's probably the biggest thing I remember hearing from people that ran it, was that was the most unfamiliar part of the course that people were not accustomed to running on that trail section. So I think consequently, I would expect that people that are running that race this year are going to put more time and effort into training on that type of terrain, even for that small little section that the race course contains. But I don't think that's a point that can really be brought home well enough, because I think a lot of us just, again, equate a mile as a mile. And as we've all learned, a mile at a nighttime race on a trail, everything fluctuates based on the terrain, the time of day, the temperature, the time of year. All of those variables, they come into play, and we really are well served if we train for them adequately.
You really train after midnight?
You know, Michelle, it's kind of strange.
I'm asking because I had insomnia last night, and I thought it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, I wish I could go out and run now. But a woman alone at 1 o'clock in the morning running wouldn't work.
No, that wouldn't. I do. I train. I'll go out at midnight, 1 a.m., and run till 3, 4 o'clock, sleep for 2 hours, get up, go to work. I don't require much sleep, and that'll change eventually, but it's been that way for many, many years, and it works. It works well.
Lucky you. So I'm wondering, how does your training differ if you're preparing for some of the new races that Disney's offering? I know they've had Goofy for a while, but back-to-back races like the Dumbo Double Dare or the new Glass Slipper Challenge, or I know, Dom, you've done the Dopey. I'm sorry, the Goofy, and I think you're signed up for the Dopey. Chris, you've done the Goofy, haven't you?
I have. Okay, I have indeed.
So does your training differ for those back-to-back races?
You know, for me, again, that specificity comes into it, and I want to do it again next year. I'd like to do Goofy again next year, but the back-to-back absolutely is key. I'm probably a six-day-a-week runner. Several of those days, I'll run two times a day, so it's just crucial to get your body accustomed to doing what it's going to be called on to do on race day, which really goes back to a lot of what you and Mike have been talking about with a lot of the training runs that you're doing, is getting your body accustomed to that. And it's not a normal type of request that you make of your body. So it requires some conditioning, and that repetition is so important. So important.
What about you, Dom? I know you're a veteran Goofy guy. And I say that with a lot of love.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly a veteran runner, and I am Goofy, so that's fine. You know, when I did my first Goofy, the training I did was Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday running, and that's the training I'm still doing. So I do back-to-backs kind of as normal training anyway. When I decided to sign up for Dopey, really it didn't, you know, sink into me until very recently that, yeah, it's a 5K and it's a 10K. And for some people, that's going to be their first race or their first Disney race, and that's going to be really exciting. And for me, I'm looking at it more as I need to realize that I still have two more days of running, and so let's not try to go all out. Let's enjoy the races. But how do I train for that? And what I decided to do is I am already altering my training. I'm adding in the day of the week that I'm on the elliptical as one of my running days. So that's the fifth day of my running that I started this year. I'm actually doing that on Thursdays now instead of Tuesdays. So I will now start training Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. For the race, I'll shift it a day, obviously. But so I will be used to then running 4 days a week, probably a little more distance. But I think it'll be fine. It is kind of that specificity that Chris was talking about. Although I don't know exactly what the 10K course is going to be, I've got a good idea of what it probably will be, and I've run the 10K back, you know, when it was the Disney 10K and the Race for the Taste. So I'm just trying to think ahead about sort of more logistics things right now. And as we get closer to the race, I'm sure I'll be thinking about the training aspects for what it means to do four races in 4 days as opposed to just the two, where to me that's kind of just standard operating procedure. It just happens to be a half and a full.
You and me both. I'm going to be looking at you to drag me over the finish line.
No problem.
Both of you. One on each side.
That 10K, a lot of people say, well, it's only 6 miles, but it's 6 miles. And you add that to everything else. And it will be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see how the field approaches that 10K on Friday. Michelle?
That's the wild card.
Yeah, it's interesting because I spoke of Michael Miller earlier. He sent me a magnet that he created with a picture of Dopey, and it says 48.6, and I put it on the back of my car, and every time I see it, it hits me. I'm like, oh, that's cute. Ah, 48.6! And the training around 48.6 miles. It's amazing. It's just amazing when you think. It's not to be taken lightly. I think the training around that, you know, you need to approach it with a lot of reverence and a lot of care and
respect the distance.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And you know, when we talk about things like Dumbo Dare, Glass Slipper Challenge, and the Goofy or the Dopey Challenge, and we talk about training, we have to talk about nutrition. And I'm going to turn to Chris first, and I wanted to ask you, Chris, when you're in training mode, are you also in nutrition training mode? And if so, what kind of practices do you use?
You know, I definitely am. That is, that nutrition and hydration are definitely two of my they hold special place in my heart, just because I think I've done all of it wrong so many times before that I've committed that eventually I'm going to get it right. And you know, it's an ongoing process. We all have learned over the years, or however long we've been running and racing, we found the things that work, we found the things that don't work. Maybe those things change over time, but in training mode, I think you have to. The thing, it's interesting timing. Last night we had a local 5K, and it had about five guys that I had managed to get involved in a Couch to 5K program. They completed the program, ran the race, and they all – so, yeah, I saw all of them last night. And it was kind of interesting because we were talking about that very thing. If you're training for an event, it's in your best interest to train everything for that event, from – what shoes you're going to wear, which we've talked about on the show I know many times, to the clothing you wear, the gear, what type of socks. So yes, the nutrition and everything, you know, what you're going to have for breakfast before that long run on Saturday morning, or what's your recovery like after that run? What are you taking? Are you doing chocolate milk? Are you taking an ice bath? You know, what are you doing? All of those things, your training days are just so vital because they're, number one, they're limited. Number two, that's really your proving ground to find out what, whether it's nutrition, recovery, clothing, gear, shoes, whatever, what is going to work for you consistently in training so that on race day you have a better idea of what you can truly depend on going into that race. It's everything, and nutrition is a key part of that.
Don, what about you, nutrition-wise? Do you somehow incorporate nutritional training into your program as well?
A little bit, yeah. I've been pretty lucky and fortunate in my running in that I found what works for me the best fairly early on, and I don't tweak the. What I do is I take a goo gel every 4 miles. And then I also take either, be it whatever I have on my belt for hydration, be it Powerade, Gatorade, or Goo Brew, I do that at the same time. And then what I started doing actually as of yesterday was, in the later part of my run, starting I think at about mile 8 or 10, every 2 miles I was drinking I had Powerade, a little bit of that to get me used to the fact that over 4 days, regardless of the distance, regardless of what the weather is going to be down there, you're going to have to stay hydrated. And while they have a ton of water stops, and I take advantage of those, even though I'm carrying stuff on my belt, I just want to get used to the routine of the making it automatic to reach down every 2 miles and grab something to drink, so that I don't have issues. Because as you pointed out, as the three of you pointed out, it's almost 50 miles in 4 days, getting up at 2 a.m. 4 days in a row, that's your body's not going to be happy with you on Sunday night. So I'd like it to be as happy with me as it will possibly be by trying to take care of it, and I'm trying to train myself to do that now to get into that routine by January.
Great points. I mean, Chris, I completely agree with you that, you know, you're training, you're practicing your nutrition. You're training with your nutrition. You're in, and Dom, you talked about the practicing the routine. And when you talked about Dom reaching down to get that water at a certain period of time, that's exactly why I try to always bring water with me when I run a race, because I'm in that habit and I don't want to break out of that habit. So, you know, I'm thinking about just the last time I went for a regular run. It's been a long, long time. And I'm wondering, you know, if I went out for just a run, what would be the difference between going for a training run? I might not bring as many things with me. What do you think? Is there a difference, Dom, for you, now that you're thinking about this too?
Not as much as, at least not yet. I mean, I'm kind of in that, this is the first week I really started focusing on it. So it's just such a different animal. I was talking to somebody last night, a fellow runner that hasn't done Disney yet, but they've done a lot of races.
What?
Believe me, I was recruiting. I was madly recruiting, and I think I might have put a chink in the armor for both of them. So hopefully we'll see that. But It was the case where they were trying to be, you know, reasonably open to the idea that the goofy and the dopey, for that matter, both of those races exist, but they just can't fathom what goes into doing it. And these are folks that do Ragnar. So they do a Ragnar relay, which is just
mind-boggling
to me. And that's what I said. And she actually said, but you run goofy. And I said, yeah, but it's different than 2 days in a van with people. So, I just haven't really, I'm just in the kind of early stages of thinking about it. And honestly, Michelle and Mike, it was because of your invitation to come on the show today. I started saying to myself, oh my goodness, it's almost September. I need to be thinking about this, because my traditional historic training start date for Disney has been the week of Labor Day, which is, you know, coming up. So I'm kind of excited to see what'll happen with it. I'll just have to see what does change in my mind and my thinking, and then hopefully adapt and incorporate the good stuff in time. So we'll just see how it goes.
Oh, cool. We'll have to get an update. Chris, what about for you? If you were just going to go out for a run, is there anything different that would happen or that you would bring?
I think the key is to leave everything at home. I mentioned that 5K last night. I actually ran that with our middle son, our 12-year-old son. It was his first midnight 5K. The race was at midnight. It's a big local event, several thousand people. So it's a big party. It's a goal event of a lot of people that are completing the Couch to 5K. So
I love how you say first midnight race, as if there are dozens of midnight races. Maybe in Georgia, but not in New Hampshire.
Good point. But so I was going to run it. I ran it with our middle son, and so I knew that it wasn't going to be a blazing time. So I didn't take my Garmin. I didn't take anything. We just went, and I knew I was just going to run with him at his pace. He's relatively aggressive, when he's out running. So he's on the cross country team and the like. So at any rate, it was it was a different thing, because I'm type A. I'm competitive. Every time I toe a starting line, I want to be at the start of the front of the line, and I'm going to run as hard and fast and try to pass as many people as I can. So this was a struggle, but I'll be honest, by about mile two of that 5K, he was having such a good time, and whenever we'd see a gap in between some people ahead of us, he'd just charge ahead, and I'd just be following behind him. And we finished that race, and that is probably the first time I can remember thinking, this is what it's like to run just for the sheer unfettered joy of running. And that was a neat feeling.
What a great way to wrap up the show. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, it was. It brought back memories. Although I've brought back memories of the first Twilight Zone Tower Terror X. It was a 13K first time I had run at night, and it's quite different. Quite different. It was fun. It was really fun. I want to thank both Dom and Chris for coming on board. Michelle, do you have any last comments?
I did actually have one more quick question for you guys, because okay. I think we're sort of skirting around an important issue here that we kind of have brought up, which is, are there any, would you give any advice for people in terms of, maybe I'm training too much and you're losing the love of running? You know, I don't want to frighten people that training, I think we all love to have the goal and we love to work towards the goal, but, you know, are there any red flags that people should look for and maybe think about just going out for a run just for the heck of it? What do you think, Chris?
I would say that when it gets to the point, if it gets to the point where you don't enjoy it, if it gets to the point where it's just another task that you've got on your calendar, a busy calendar for the day, at that point, maybe it's time to leave the watch at home, or maybe it's time to take a couple of days and just don't run. You know, when we were kids, our parents reminded us that absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think the same can be said for running and many other things, you know, that we face in life. But it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to see until you're already in the throes of it. And I haven't gotten there personally, but I definitely have days where I don't have that same joy of knowing I want to get out and do a workout. Some days are great. Some days aren't so much. And I think that's a daily thing that I have to try to be mindful of as well. So I don't think we're alone in this.
Thank you. Dom, what do you think?
Actually, I don't think I could have said it better than what Chris said. I agree with everything and all of his sentiments. Absolutely 100%.
Great. Okay, Mike?
Well, I'm glad that we had this discussion, and I think that we both want to say, Michelle, that this discussion will continue on Facebook. We want to hear from our listeners what they feel the differences between training and running, and I want to thank Dom and Chris for coming on, and I hope to see them in a future Run Disney event.
This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And it's that time of year where the fall vacations are coming up. If you are planning a fall vacation but you haven't booked it yet, maybe it's time to give the vacation planners at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel a call. Be it a Disney vacation or any vacation for that matter, they will be your partner in providing you with the best opportunity for the best vacation ever. So give them a shot, give them a try. Go visit them at meitravel.com or mousefantravel.com, or you can click on their banner at mickeymilespodcast.com.
So for Chris Trawick and for Dom Abram and for Michelle Scrivener-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road, training-wise or running-wise.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.